Good morning, and I want to greet each one of you in Jesus' name. It is good to be here with you all this morning. It seems like it's been a while since we've been here, at least as a family. We were at Tyrone 2 weeks ago, and then last Sunday we were at a friend's church called Cornerstone down by Turnpike. We visited with them. So we had some good times there, but it's good to be back here with you all, and I guess that's where I get my inspiration this morning. Or the title that I want to look at this morning is The Church Family. I believe I got inspiration from God, but being apart from you all made me think about our church family here and how much we appreciate each one that is here. I first want to look at a physical family and how God puts that together. And then I want to look at the little bit larger picture, the family of God. And then I want to narrow it down a little bit and look at this church family that meets here on the corner of 4th Avenue and 25th Street. Look at that a little bit and make some comparisons between the physical family and that we have and we know and the church family that we know and enjoy here. I want to look at some of those comparisons. I know many of us are from many different backgrounds. We don't all have the same upbringing. We come from many different places, and I think that's good. We have some diversity here, and that's a good thing. I enjoy that. So that makes what we think about family maybe a little bit different. My background and my family is much different than yours, possibly. Some of us are from large families where there's 10, 12, 14, maybe more children. Some of you may be an only child. Some of us maybe are from single-parent homes. Others of us maybe are adopted into families. But in one way or the other, we're all part of some physical family. We had a mother and a father. That's how we got here, in one way or the other. I don't know what picture comes to your mind when you think of your family. And maybe my picture is a little bit tainted by the spot that I find myself in life. But as being a young father, I look back to my family, and that paints the picture for me. My biological family doesn't live around here, many of you know that. And my parents are from Eastern Shore, Maryland, and they live on a road called Green Branch Road. It's a very bumpy road in Maryland. It's been bumpy for as long as I can remember. 25 years, 30 years, it's always been, it's had the same bumps every year. Or a couple years, they come along and put a couple stones, chip and tar on top of it, but it doesn't fix any of the bumps. It's the same road. And when I go home, I go down that road, and my parents' house is down there. And when I turn to that road, I can just feel the pressures of life just start to go away. You feel your shoulders start to come up. You're going home. You know where the coffee is at home. You know where, you know mom is going to have something good around there to eat. You know that dad's going to have answers to your questions. Your brothers are going to be there. Your sisters are going to be there. You'll talk about the things families talk about, and we enjoy those things. Our families are the ones we can just be 100% real with. We don't have to put on a front. We can just relax and be who we are. Take a break from the pressures of life. A family can help us smooth out the bumps that life brings to us. I know that not all of us are at the same stage in life, and maybe all of us don't view our family like this, but God has designed us in such a way that we need our family. We need someone, we need a larger support group, a circle of friends, a circle of people that we can share with that helps us through the tough things that life brings at us, because I think we can all agree that there are some things in life we just can't handle on our own. We need some help with it. God created us in such a way that we just don't function best by ourselves. God designed us that way. We need a larger group. Sure, there's some times we need to get away from people. We need to get away and have a little vacation and relax, get away from the stresses of life. But for the most part, we're social creatures, and some of us are more social than others. I find myself being more of a social person. It's Wednesday evening. Chloe was sick, and we needed to stay home, and it felt like it would be nice to stay home, but I told my wife, I feel like I need to go to church and get that inspiration from my brothers. I need some spiritual encouragement. I was glad that I came and was able to have prayer meeting with you all. So, to fill this need in our life, God has designed the family unit. And it's a beautiful thing when we can share with our family. We know it's very obvious that a baby would not make it more than a day, if that, without having parents to care for it, to provide for it, give it food to eat, rock it, help it with its needs, nurture it, care for it. I want to look at the physical family, and for an example, let's look at Genesis chapter 4. We know the story well here. It's the very first family. The first chapters in Genesis, we know God created Adam, and Adam was by himself, and that was not a good thing. So God made Eve, took part of Adam's flesh and made Eve, so he had a helpmeet. God gave them a command to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth. I don't know for sure how long it was, but it wasn't too long. And along came Cain. And after Cain was Abel. So you see a small family here, a husband, a wife, a mom, a dad, and two children. It's the first family unit that we see here in the Bible. Now I want to read Genesis chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. So we have the family unit here, and there was a worship experience that left Cain very angry with his brother. He was so angry, he was so turned off by this worship experience that he killed his brother. We know that story well. Cain committed the first murder. Animals had died up to this point to make clothes for Adam and Eve, but this was the first human to leave Earth and go on. And it was through the act of Cain and him killing his brother. And what we read in Genesis chapter 4, 12 through 14, I'll read that, is the punishment that God is giving to Cain for what he did to his brother Abel. Verse 12, "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." So God's punishment to Cain here for him killing his brother was he was banished from other people. He needed to go out. He needed to leave the family unit. And that was God's punishment for him. And Cain has a response to God. He says, "My punishment is too great. It's too much. It's more than I can bear. I can't take it being alone. I need to be with someone. I need my family for safety and protection." And God, in verse 16, we're not going to read the verse, but God made a provision for Cain. And he put a mark on him and said, "When people see this mark, they will leave you alone." God made a provision for Cain. Even though he wasn't included back into the family, God made a provision for him. Imagine the loneliness that Cain felt after being part of a family with his mom and his dad, his brother. I'm sure there was many times he regretted what he had done. And when he felt that loneliness in his life and being a fugitive, and we all feel that need sometimes, the need to be part of a family. Looked a little bit at a physical family here. I'd like to now move on to the spiritual family. If you notice, after church, we say brother and sister. We say Brother Weston. We say sister whoever. It's because we're a family here. We don't just say it just because it sounds nice. It's because we mean it. We are a family. And it goes beyond just the brothers and sisters that we have here at Fourth Avenue. It goes on to people who have named the name of Christ. We accept them as brothers and sisters. I thought about when we were in Bangladesh, when we went to Bajwa, it was a new place, new faces. Americans had not been there before. And they started to ask about where we're from. And I remember having a conversation with someone, and I told him I was from Pennsylvania, and I think it was Jonathan Miller from Missouri who was with me, and he told him where he was from, and they wanted to know how far apart that was. Well, it's about 2,000 kilometers, which is a little more than they can even imagine in a small country that we would live 2,000 miles apart. But they were amazed that the two of us, this is not to lift either one of us up, but that we could come from completely different places in America, come to Bangladesh, not even really knowing each other before we got there, and we could live together in the same house. We had a lot of things in common, and we could get along. They're amazed by that. They said, you live in the house and you get along like family. Well, that's true. It's because we are family. So what makes us family? To be part of a physical family, we need to have the same father or same mother, or we can be adopted. Some of my siblings are adopted, and they are just as much a part of my family as those of us who are born to my parents. Adoption is a way that we can see firsthand today how God accepts us into his family. It's a beautiful picture of what God extends to each one of us. You can turn your Bibles to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 26 through the end of the chapter, and then we'll also look at the first seven verses of chapter 4 here in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and the heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Paul lays out some concepts here that I can hardly wrap my mind around. Well, I can't wrap my mind around. We are sons and daughters of God and heirs through a belief in his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul, through the inspiration of God, wrote these words down so that we can have them today for our encouragement. This passage just levels the field, we would say, in our own words. Flip back over to the verses we read in the end of chapter 3. There is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. It doesn't matter who you are, if you're a Jew or a Greek, if you're African, Chinese, American. It doesn't matter if you're tall, short, skinny, fat, young, old. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're rich, you're poor, or somewhere in between. God is offering this to everyone. And it's a free gift. We can't buy it. Let's think about Jeff Bezos. I think he became the richest man in the world here recently. He can't buy his way into the family of God, even if he wanted to. The only way that we can become a part of the family of God, there's some requirements that are laid out for us, and we'll look at a few of those. If you look at verse 26 of Galatians 3, we read it. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So the first requirement to be part of the family of God is to have faith in Jesus Christ. We have to experience salvation before we can be part of the family of God. If you turn to Matthew chapter 12, there's another requirement for being part of the family of God. Matthew chapter 12, we'll read verses 46 through 50. Jesus was teaching the people here. The Pharisees were asking for a sign, and Jesus was rebuking them. And then we find Jesus surrounded by people, and then we find verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak to him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now the setting that Jesus was in here, old culture, where much respect was placed on family, like many Eastern cultures today. Much respect. Even the parents arrange the marriages. That's how much the younger generation respects what the older folks think. They respect them enough to allow them to decide who their lifelong partner is going to be. And here Jesus is in that culture, and he's saying, who is my mother? Who is my family? And it seems at first glance that he's diminishing his respect for his mother. He's not accepting the place. But he goes on to teach a lesson here when the question was asked. He teaches the second requirement for being part of the family of God. The second part of the family of God is found in verse 50. It says, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. So if you want to be part of the family of God, the first requirement is to believe in Jesus, and the second is to do the will of the Father. And the blessings that we talked about of being heirs, being brothers and sisters with Christ, are ours to enjoy. We can claim those promises. Turn over a couple pages to Luke chapter 14. Jesus emphasizes this teaching. Luke chapter 14, we'll read verses 25 and 26. And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And I'll read verse 27 as well. For whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So Jesus uses a very strong word here. He uses hate. If you don't hate your family, if you do not hate your family, you cannot be my disciple. So what did he mean by saying that? Jesus was not teaching here that we just cut our family ties. We don't have any respect for our parents. We throw out our earthly families when we become part of the family of God. But I think what he was teaching here is that the family of God is our first obligation. That's who we should cater to. That's the family that should mean the most to us and be the most important to us. The word hate here does not mean hate as we understand it today. It just means love less than. So we need to love our family less than we love the family of God. So we've looked at the family of God a little briefly as a whole. I'd like to narrow it down to the family that we have here at 4th Avenue, the family that meets in these benches. It would be very difficult to keep some of the biblical commands in Scripture if we kept ourselves at a distance from local believers. Just went with the more of, I'm a part of the larger family of God. And we hear some people say that. I'm part of the large family of God. I don't need to be part of a local church. But it's very difficult to keep biblical principles with that approach. Like I mentioned earlier, we need that tight group, that group that helps us over the rough terrain of life. We need that place that we can come to and relax. Like I talked about going home to my family, we need to have that place in our spiritual lives where we come and are refreshed. It would be very difficult to practice communion or feet washing or the holy kiss, many of those ordinances that we practice. It would be very difficult to do that without having a local place that we meet on Sundays. So I'd like to look at a couple of comparisons between the larger family of God and, I'm sorry, the physical family that God puts together and the family that God has put together here at 4th Avenue. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 12, I want to read verses 27 and 28. Here in this, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is comparing the body, the human body, to the body of Christ. And we'll look at that a little bit, maybe a little bit later. But I want to pull out verse 27 and 28 right now. It says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. I'll read verse 29 as well. And are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles?" He goes on to say that we all have different gifts. And what I want to emphasize on here is in verse 28. It says that God has set the church. Just like in the physical family, God leads two people together in marriage from amazingly different backgrounds. And God does the same thing in our church here. God has brought many of us from different backgrounds. We don't decide who comes to our church, who becomes a member. When you want to become a member here, Ernest doesn't ask for the last 2 years of your tax returns. Or Dwayne doesn't get to pick and choose who becomes a member here. God puts that together. God brings us together. And just like a physical family, God puts it together. He puts children in a family most times. Parents don't choose their children, and children for sure don't choose their parents. God puts that together. And the same thing is true of the church. It makes it much more beautiful than if I would handpick or you would handpick who gets to be part of the church. We accept each other just like we accept our biological siblings, biological brothers and sisters. Sure, there are differences between us. We see things from different angles sometimes, but we try to blend those viewpoints together like brothers and sisters in a family. When we're part of a family, the second parallel I see between a physical family and the church family here is that there are responsibilities that come along with the privileges of being part of a family. When you are part of a physical family, you need to help with the chores. Maybe the boys cut the grass, the girls wash the dishes, or whatever it is, but there's different jobs that need to be done, and a family works together, and much can be accomplished by a family who works together. I'm very thankful to be part of a church family that shares the workload around here. We have someone who unlocked the door this morning and made sure the heat was on and the temperature was comfortable in here. We had someone else who led songs, someone else who taught Sunday school. We had a Sunday school superintendent. And there's many other things that go unseen that I'm sure you sisters do, with helping out with moms and that need help, or meals that need cooked, and those things. So much more can be accomplished when we work together and do the work. Third parallel I see between a physical family and the church family here is how much I feel a part of the family is related to how much I involve myself. Sometimes you see older families have older children. I remember having this feeling when I was teenage. We drove a big brown maxi van, and there was 10 of us in there. And you would get to a place, and we would get out of the van, and one would get out, and then another would get out. And it just almost seemed embarrassing because we just kept getting out of the van. There was more of us, more of us. And I remember wanting to withdraw from that and not want to identify with that. And the same thing can happen in our church. Maybe we're embarrassed of something. We want to pull back from it. Throughout the summer, families have family reunions. And sometimes around holidays, there's times we get together. And we get together so we can stay connected, so we can see where people are at in their life and how their children are growing and share stories. And the same thing is true of our church. If we want to experience full blessings of church family, we need to involve ourselves. When the church family is getting together, we need to try to make it. On Wednesday night, try our best to be here. When it's my turn to teach Sunday school, I try to put my all into that. When a mom has a new baby, we look for ways to help her out. We involve ourselves, and that's when we can feel and be a part of the family. If I'm just here to warm a spot on a bench, then I shouldn't be surprised if I feel disconnected and not part of what's going on. Shouldn't feel surprised about that. A fourth parallel that I see is that we need to love the family unconditionally. Our siblings can get by with a lot. Our brothers and sisters can do things to us that other people just wouldn't be able to get by with. If you want to flip to John chapter 13, read verse 34 and 35. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So Jesus is teaching us here that the way people around us will know that we are following him is how we love each other. Love each other like he loved us, it says. He loved us so much that he gave his life. We know that it's taught in other places in Scripture. But let's remember, a parallel between a physical family and our church family is our siblings can get by with a lot, and we still love them unconditionally. A very obvious parallel that I thought about is that a family is made up of living people. 1 Corinthians 12 compares the church to a body and how the members are each taking their part. They're alive. Let me just flip there again. I lost my spot. Let me just turn to 1 Corinthians 12 again. I want to read verse 26. It says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." So the family is made up of people who are living. We feel. We see needs. When someone has a problem, a hurt, we band together and do what we can to help them out. When someone has a victory, we rejoice with them. We're glad for them. Just like we would be glad, just like one part of the body is glad when another body part of the body heals and is restored. We're happy when someone confesses sin and walks in newness of life. Another parallel that I see between the physical family and the church family is people look like their parents. When I worked for my dad, I got that a lot because my dad was into the office when I started going out into the field, and I would go to places that my dad had been before, and I would show up and they would say, "Ha, I know who your dad is." People look like their parents, and the same should be true of our church here. Ernest prayed in his prayer about our father, and do we as this church family look like our father? Our father's God, we know that. Do we look like him? In the beginning, I described how going to visit my family makes me feel. My family is far from perfect. I don't want to portray that in any way. And not all of us come from the same family background. I believe this is one of the reasons God has designed the church family for us. The church family is a place we can all come, no matter our background, our race, social status, income. We can belong here. We can be part of the body through Jesus Christ. We can be brothers and sisters together with Christ. Huge blessing. It's my prayer that this church family here, the one that meets right here at 4th Avenue, that we could be a light that sits on a hill and shines to the world, pointing many to Christ, and the glory goes to Him for what we are doing here. The family, the connection that we feel, I pray that we could just look to Jesus and that He could be our rallying point and He could be what pulls us together as a family. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this another beautiful day you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and meet as a family this morning and look into your word. Lord, I just want to thank you for the privilege that it is to have brothers and sisters who understand the faith that we have, understand the journey that we're in, and can help us when the going gets tough. Lord, I just pray that we can all feel part of this family and you feel at home here. Just bless each person here, and as we go from this place, I pray that we can be your hands and feet. We can show your family to the world around us who's looking for a place to belong. We just ask all of this in Jesus' name.